1017 FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty. Beautiful day today. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot on tap. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, joining us today.
Ooh.
I'm hoping he comes in. He's in town.
Yeah, he is in town.
Come on. But you went to see Stephen Parr and Louis Avalone. Yeah, he hasn't seen our new studio either.
He hasn't, has he?
He hasn't seen our new studio.
Okay. Well, maybe we can shame him into
coming. I showered and everything. I mean,
Me too.
The best.
He comes with an entourage, you know.
So I know, and I want to see it.
Which is, now he is, he's sneaking us in because I was told by his staff that this is kind of family time for him.
I understand.
So he is squeezing us in.
But we're family.
Making a trip from Benton to West Shreveport
right.
is a little bit of an ordeal, I would imagine. So for all his staff and all that. So I don't know if he surprises us. That'd be cool. That would be cool. I didn't bring a kickball though. I'll even buy him
a cup of coffee.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'll take him to Cracker Barrel when we're done.
Oh, there you go.
I'll run him over to Cracker Barrel. We'll get breakfast. Can you imagine the Speaker of the House walking in Cracker Barrel?
With
Holy
us?
Crud. Wow.
That'd be pretty excellent.
My soon-to-be daughter-in-law's got a crush on him, by the way. And I had to tell her the kickball story about Garrett Graves. I thought Garrett was really hot.
So handsome.
And, and Mike calls in, what am I, chopped liver?
Right,
and I said,
right.
Mike's the guy you want on your kickball team. So he and I forever have the kickball joke. But he's such a good guy, man. But, yeah, I'll have to tell him that my soon-to-be daughter-in-law's got a massive crush on him. So that's okay. Thanksgiving for me is memories of my mother, and I know you have tons of memories, and you're lucky you still have your mom. My mom,
I know, and she's coming with us too.
Oh, tomorrow. Sweet!
I know, I'm very excited.
My mother was the quintessential Southern lady. Can I get you some salt, pepper? Can I get you some more mac and cheese? Can I get you? And I'd be like, sit.
Never
down.
Sat down. Right, my
sit
mother-in-law was that way.
Oh, please stop,
Nana. Come sit down with us.
And it is, she's quite different from someone in a movie that is kind of a Thanksgiving movie. Part of it is Driving Miss Daisy. No, another great Southern lady, different from my mom. Daisy is a different character, that's right. For sure. But this reminds me of Thanksgiving. And I tear up when I hear, and we got two clips here that we're going to play for Thanksgiving. One is from Driving Miss Daisy. It's kind of the end of the movie when Hoke goes to the nursing home.
Oh.
Bewley's there, and she kicks Bewley out, you know.
He didn't come to see you.
Yeah. Oh, and then the pie, when he's serving her the pie. So we'll start with that clip, and then it'll be right behind it. Will be from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Probably one of my favorite scenes from that movie.
I'm gonna
tear up.
Yes,
you're gonna
every
tear
time
up.
I've seen the movie countless times, and I cry every time.
But for Thanksgiving, these are great clips.
Hope came to see me, not you.
Mm. Looked like one of her good days.
Mama Florine asked me to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. She's in Washington, you know. Remember, Mama, she's a Republican National Committee woman now.
Good God, Bully. Go charm the nurses. Bully paying you still?
Give a week.
How much?
That's between him and me.
Highway robbery.
Yes. It sure is.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing the best I can.
Me too.
Yes. Well, I reckon that's about all there is to it then, ain't it? Look at here. You didn't eat your Thanksgiving pie, huh? Yeah. Go on. Yeah, let me help you. Let me help you. I got it.
Thank you. And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
You want to hurt me? Go right ahead if it makes you feel any better. I'm an easy target. Yeah, you're right. I talk too much. I also listen too much. I could be a cold-hearted cynic like you. But I don't like to hurt people's feelings. Well, you think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me. Because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
There's certain things, I don't care how many times, that scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
My wife died, you know. It's,
yes.
Oh. And you realize, you just.
I know. And to see Hoke serving her that pie.
Oh.
With the love, just a genuine love for her and for her to him. Oh, man.
Okay.
And they're both elderly. They know they're on their way out. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Band of Brothers, very last one, the actual interview with the real Lieutenant Winters.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Winters, I think and he says, my grandson asked me, Dad, were you a hero in the war?
Mm.
He said no, which he was.
Yes.
He says, but I served with a company of heroes.
I'm getting chill bumps. Yeah. Yeah.
I cry. Yeah. I'm crying right now for crying out loud.
And Mike, I so wish that generation of men, you know, that's my father.
Oh, yes.
He fought at Okinawa. They did not talk about it.
No.
At all.
Both my grandfathers.
And I wish if I could have one more conversation, tell me about Okinawa. They didn't want to relive it.
No.
It was traumatic. He was 19, you know, for crying out loud. He didn't want to live that. He saw horror.
If you watch the one after Band of Brothers, The Pacific, if you've seen that,
yes,
you understand why they don't want to talk about it.
Oh.
There's no romanticizing. There was no Gary Cooper moments in The Pacific.
No, and the only story that I've heard is that he told one of my older brothers, I think my oldest brother, how he knows he killed a Japanese commander, like a major, somebody high up, because my dad was on watch one night, you know, in the foxhole. He's the one staying up watching, and he hears some rustling. And he just, you know, opens fire, thinking you're not coming close. And it was not too many people, but when he got up closer, he found the Japanese guy dead.
Right.
And they had retreated. Once their commander had gotten killed, they left. But I thought, golly.
My granny, I remember her telling a story that my grandfather was he didn't talk,
never,
he was a quiet man and just in general, but she taught, he was a navigator, he was a tail gunner on like a B-24.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And a navigator on a B-24 or 29, forgive me, I don't remember exactly, and he had dropped his pencil. They were on a mission, and he leaned down and gunfire strafed into the fuselage.
Wow.
Right where he was sitting.
But he leaned to pick up
the pencil. But he leaned down to pick up his pencil, and
that's a God moment.
Yeah.
When you have a God moment like that, you know it.
And that's the only story, Aaron, other than he wasn't a big man.
Mm-mm.
And when I looked, I remember touring some of those old World War, I'd love that stuff.
Yeah.
And those old aircraft, and to be a tail gunner, you had to crawl on your belly down into that.
Yeah.
And there was no, you talk about MRI claustrophobia. Yeah. You're laying there completely vulnerable.
No Ativan then. No. Yeah. The silliness for me.
He did that.
The silliness for me is I want to hear the stories about, tell me about, because I know that, you know, you hear about the heat and the bugs and the mud and the, I wanted to hear about all that. I want to hear about, the only thing I ever really heard him talk about was it was always a good day when the cigarettes arrived. You know, when they got their smokes. And, because they, I
Lucky
would bet,
Strikes, I think, was usually.
I don't know. He ended up smoking Camels unfiltered
yes.
Camels.
Oh, right, they
the
were all unfiltered.
No, he quit in the last years, but he died, obviously, of respiratory illness. But it was, you know, that was a big day when they passed out the smokes. And I would bet almost all of them smoked. It was a thing.
It wasn't known.
Right. It was
then.
It was the casual thing.
Right.
You know?
Even Andy Griffith smoked on camera back in the early 60s.
Yes. It just, so many heroes. And I think about that a lot, that we didn't hear a lot of the stories. I have loved everything Steven Spielberg has done to document, you know, all those folks and Tom Hanks. They have done such great work to document, because there's not many of them left now. They're going.
It's yes.
Fast.
Daily.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one. It's interesting you say that, because I feel the same way. I wish I would have had more presence of mind in my younger days.
Yes.
To talk to my grandparents.
Right.
Not only about that, but about family history.
Yes.
What brought you here? Where did your grandparents, where were they? What?
Right.
I'd give anything to be able to do that today.
I have something very valuable to my family, and I don't know that they know this. I have a reel-to-reel tape of me and my grandmother. I interviewed my grandmother one day.
Oh, when you were a little girl?
I was a young reporter.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know how it's on reel to reel. I think maybe I took it from cassette moved it to reel to reel. But I saved it, and I'll get it. I'm going to get it digitized at some point in my life and share it with all my cousins. But she talks about each one of her kids, the problems she had with each one of them, the naughty things my mom did, you know, and because she'd send my mom to school in certain clothes, and mom would hide them in the tree and go to school in something, and she'd take off the bloomers her mom made her wear, and she'd go to school in her skirts, and you know, she would say she used to hide those bloomers in the tree. I mean, to hear that voice, you know, I wish I had video of it. You know, I didn't really take video; it was just audio, but I have that, and I've kept it pretty well preserved. It's in a safe place. So.
See, my best friend did that with his dad.
Yeah.
And interviewed his dad, who grew up in the hills of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And wonderful stories.
Take some time for Thanksgiving and sit down with the elders in your family. And you, I mean, you got a phone now. You can video anything. Videotape some moments.
Or just record it.
Yeah.
Just put the voice recorder on and have a conversation with them. You will be so grateful later.
Oh, sit it at the table, for crying out loud. While y'all are eating dinner, sit the phone, turn the recorder on and sit it there. I mean, some of the conversations you might not love, but, you know, some of them you will cherish them forever. Forever. So
we got a great morning lined up. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault joining us in studio coming up after the news, top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Don't forget your cell phone anywhere. You feel so naked without it.
When you told me that, I'm like, I'm glad I'm not the only one that does that.
Oh, it's so bad. I left it here at work yesterday for some stupid reason. And I walked back in the room to pick it up at about 11:30 yesterday, and it's sitting right here where I always leave it.
Right.
And so I'm really angry at Ruben. Because, Ruben, I would like to know how you let me leave the room with the phone sitting right there.
It's Ruben's fault.
Yeah, I just wasn't being observant that day.
What is wrong with you?
Sorry about that.
And you don't know anybody's number to call. Right. I'm like, I can't call Ruben. I can't call you and go, hey, bring me my phone.
It's so funny. I just saw somebody posted a thing that said, I wonder what the part of my brain is doing that used to remember phone numbers.
Yes, exactly.
Because I couldn't tell you my mom's phone number.
I know.
I know my daughter's and my wife's and my son's.
I know my two sons' numbers. That's it.
I remember my phone number from when I was a kid. I remember my old high school girlfriend's phone number. I remember my grandmother's phone number from the 70s.
Don't remember
the part of the brain, but we don't have to remember them anymore.
No,
if I'm in an accident and I don't have my phone, they say, what number? I said, well, you know, I could tell them my wife's, but if I had to call my mom, I'm like, well, call mom.
I know. And it's really bad. And I had to actually come in the building because I had been to the pool swimming. So I had on my little biker shorts that I wear in the pool, and I wasn't going to put my pants back on and get them all wet.
That's the worst feeling.
Just wandered
at what
here.
Point, like if you leave the house in the morning and you realize, at what point do you like, I'm not turning around?
Halfway, I'll go back. It depends on how early I am too. If I'm real early, I'm going
back.
That's
true. That's true.
But if I'm running late, once I'm beyond halfway, I'm going to go without it. But for me, I have to have, I've got guests that are calling me going, I'm here, or what are my topics,
right,
or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
So it's a really, it was bad. Yeah. And they actually pulled up the video at the Y just to make sure I didn't bring it in.
Right.
They're watching me walk in. They're watching
me
walk in.
Can they scan your purse or something?
No, they can see everything. I didn't bring in my purse. I just brought in my towel, my water bottle, and my keys.
Oh, okay.
And usually I would have my phone. I might put it in my pocket or something, but because I always take a picture when I'm at the pool. And I remember I didn't take a picture. So I thought I probably didn't bring it in. I left it in the car. And so when I got in the car, I told Gary Lash, I said, call me when I get in the car, and maybe it's buried in my purse somewhere, and it rings up on your screen, you know? And it didn't ring on the screen, so I knew it wasn't in the car. And I thought, I got to drive all the way back to work.
Those Bentley features.
Yeah. That sucks.
My truck doesn't have a screen.
Oh, yeah. Well, then that is kind of cool. When you get a call or you get a text message, right, it'll pop up on your big screen and it'll say text. Man, you can hit ignore. You can hear it if you want, if you've got the settings set right. But anyway, so came back, and it's sitting right here where Ruben made me leave it.
Ruben.
Bad Ruben.
I lost a toe.
Yep, there goes a toe.
I'm running short on toes these days.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault joining us after the top of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
And we are back. We've got a big morning ahead. We have Mayor Tom Arsenault going to join us in studio after 7 o'clock. Moody's downgrading the city's bond rating. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about his budget. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, House Speaker Mike Johnson is going to join us. We've got lots to talk about with him, including health care, what's coming with the big, beautiful bill, how that will change your paychecks after the first of the year, the senators who have told some military members not to obey the president's orders. That is all coming up. But right now, in the couple of minutes we have here, Ruben, you're not traveling but to Minden, correct, for the holiday?
Yeah, that's
a short little trip.
Yeah, my whole family's in Minden, yeah.
Okay. I had some friends who were traveling to Texas yesterday, and they got out as early as they could in the late afternoon. They kind of wanted to beat the traffic today. Today's going to be a real busy travel day.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be touching the interstate today.
Yeah, not it's one of those things that the experts say if you leave before noon today, maybe you're okay.
Right.
But if you try to hit the road after noon today, you're going to run into traffic just about everywhere. In cities like Shreveport, in Dallas, in, you know, just about everywhere, you're going to run into big crowds. And then, of course, you're going to run into crowds as well in the airports. I saw something yesterday that just, it really gets me a little bit torqued because I have changed my ways. I was really bad about flying out of Dallas for many years. I would jump in the car,
drive to Dallas,
and hop on a plane. And then I started doing the math. And I started realizing, what is my time worth?
Yeah.
In my 3-hour drive to Dallas, at least you got to get there 2 hours in advance, you know, to make sure you get checked in, go through security. And then
usually go and spend the night before.
Sometimes you do that. If you're going to get an early flight, mm-hmm. you spend the extra 70, 80, 90 bucks to stay in a hotel. And then when you get off the plane, that was the worst for me. You wait for your luggage. You get out of that airport. It takes you a good hour to get out of that airport. And then you got a 3-hour drive ahead of you.
Right.
What is your time worth? Think about that. That's at least 7, 8 hours, maybe 10 hours of your day. Extra time.
It's a whole other day.
It's a whole other day.
It's an additional day.
It really is.
You can just say that.
So if you're going to spend $200 more or whatever it is it worth it? Do the math. Divide the hours right. into the $200 or whatever it is. And some of our tickets are even cheaper than that. You can find great deals if you plan ahead. So I'm now sold. I'm popping into that Shreveport Airport. I can walk 20 feet. I'm in security. I'm checking my bag. I'm up the escalator. I'm down through security, and just like that.
Right.
And I'm on my plane. And I'm where I want to be.
And the airport today, I don't know if you've been, the last time you've been in, it's beautiful.
It's fabulous.
It's really nice.
I sat there and had a margarita. What's the place they've opened up in there now from the old joint?
Taco Mania's
up in there.
Oh, wow.
Got me a little margarita for brunch. Yeah, I drank before noon. Get over it. I'm okay.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault joining us after the news. 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
Okay, you were talking last segment about leaving your phone. You forget.
Yes.
It's so frustrating. Kevin from Bossier City on the Shreveport Security Systems message board said, and I do this as well. This is funny because he says, I use a memory jogger on the way out the door. Call it the 4 C's. Coffee, keys, cell phone, credentials.
Wow.
And
okay.
I do wallet, watch, and keys.
Wallet, watch,
phone, and keys.
Okay.
I say that to myself. Wallet, watch, phone, and keys.
All right.
I'm good. My phone. Wallet, watch, phone, and keys. Mm-hmm. I do that.
Yeah. I need to do something like that. I do have a habit of, which has saved me big time. I have a habit of putting my phone in my purse before I go anywhere
mm-hmm.
for fear of dropping it and busting it.
Sure.
So I don't have a busted screen. Like you'll see a lot of people have busted screens because I make a point of putting it in my purse before I ever walk out the door so that I don't ever drop it. Because I know, you know, you're handling your keys and your coffee or whatever and you, oops, there goes the phone right on the concrete. So yesterday how I walked out of this room and left it sitting right here.
That's so frustrating.
You feel so naked. Is that a word? Naked?
Absolutely, it's a word.
Naked. And they looked at the Y. They searched on the camera to see if I walked in with it, and they didn't see it in my hand. And I ended up having to come back out here to get it. And there it's
which is just the worst.
I'm blaming Ruben. How'd you let me leave the room with that phone sitting right there?
All the way back out here to East Texas to get your phone.
And then I got stuck in a traffic jam on the Interloop because there was a car fire up by 49. So I sat there for 30 minutes. I thought, this day was screwed from jump. So anyway, it will be a better day today. That's how
absolutely.
I look at it.
Absolutely. 4-day weekend, Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so nice.
Absolutely. And turkey tomorrow. It's going to be a good day. I'm excited.
Big plans? Do you have?
I'm going to go with a friend. I'm going to go see the new Wicked movie tomorrow evening. In the evening, I'm going with a friend to see the movie. So, yeah, I'm going to have a nice day.
Is Thanksgiving a big movie day?
It is. It's a pretty big movie day.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the new Wicked movie. I'm actually going to the Robinson, so
and
I'm looking forward to it.
The popcorn with the raisins in it?
I'm not going to that theater this time.
Oh,
I'm going
okay.
to the Robinson. So, but I would get the popcorn, and I did go to Tinseltown, and I got the popcorn last time.
See, I wasn't going to name names.
Well, it's okay. I actually have a public records request in because they did an inspection there last week. And I'm awaiting that request as we speak.
Well, maybe the mayor would have insight on that.
I don't think the mayor wants to talk about Tinseltown today.
Okay. Why?
It's not in his purview. Let's put it, it's not in his wheelhouse.
Right.
He's got a lot of other things in his wheelhouse.
We are going to talk to him about budget,
mm-hmm.
pay raises.
Bond rating being decreased. Is that really going to happen?
Yeah.
That's not good news. Not good news as you're heading to the end of the year and budgeting. It's not good news. So he'll tell us what's going on and give us the full scoop on all that when we come shortly after 7 o'clock this morning.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and be sure to download that free Kiel app. On 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty. In studio, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault. A little bonus today. It's not the Ask the Mayor, but a little bonus today. Thanks for coming out.
Oh, my pleasure.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. I hope it's going to be a great weekend.
Yes, it is. I'm looking forward to it. Let's start with, first of all, City Council had their meeting on Friday. So it's kind of quiet in City Hall today.
It's a bit of a desert at Government Plaza this week, I would say. And we're closed tomorrow and Friday.
Of course. Okay. Let's talk about the city bond rating. What's happened? What can we do? Where are we?
Late Monday afternoon, we got the Moody's report, which downgraded our bonds and included a negative thing. And there are three things driving that. And a couple of them we can't do anything about, and a couple of them, and one of them we can. We have been under a sewer consent decree since 2014.
Right.
And it turned out to be impossible to comply with in terms of both time and in terms of what we were doing. Was supposed to cost $350 million. We've spent about $600 million, and we're still not close.
Right.
So we have been, for my entire term, we have been in negotiations with the Justice Department and the EPA to get some relief from the consent decree. And we're supposed to have completed it by the end of next year. So that is not going to happen.
And it's ultimately going to cost as much as $1.5 billion? Is that still accurate?
Probably close to a billion.
Okay.
But that's anything that has a B in front of it is
scary.
A big number.
Mm-hmm.
It is scary. That is still
M
uncertain.
Is still a big number to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, M is a big enough number, but B is a really big number.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And we have been negotiating. We have made a lot of progress. We haven't gotten to the finish line yet. I was hoping we would have an agreement by the end of this year, and then we had, they had 43 days off.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of stopped that. We have excellent outside counsel that is advising us. I am confident that we will have significant relief. The question is, how significant is that relief? And because of the uncertainty of that, that was one of the major factors. Of course, we really can't do anything about that except what we are already doing.
Mm-hmm.
That is to negotiate and to make progress toward a resolution.
So the second thing that we can't do anything about?
I guess we could do about, but the two things we can do something about. They were concerned that we do not have a regular schedule of anticipated rate increases. And of course,
water and sewer. Okay.
Yeah, and until we know what we have to do and when we have to do it with a consent decree, we're not in a position to know when we're going to have to borrow money to finance those improvements. And so we really can't decide where we're going to be with that. And then you do have the political considerations always, mm-hmm, with raising water and sewer rates. The third thing is they were concerned about our reserves. And that is something we can do something about in terms of maintaining an 8% operating reserve. Now, if you look at their press release,
they talked about
they talk about a fund balance, mm-hmm, and they talk about the operating reserve. They'd like to see it at 15%.
Whoa.
I'm just telling you, that is not going to happen. Even in the last time I remember we had a higher than 8% was during John Hussey's first term, and it was about 10%. That is just really difficult. You have this huge pot of money that's sitting out there. We are not able to, thankfully, we don't have the power to raise taxes without a vote of the people. So we're, you know, we have a finite source of revenue. So it's really unlikely that we're ever going to get up to 15%. And about a year ago, I went to New York and met with the rating agencies and the bond insurance company, both of them. And then I was under the clear impression that if we kept that operating reserve at 8%, then we were going to be okay. And so I was very disappointed in the Moody's deal, because a year ago, well, the last time they rated us, we had uncertainty about the about the consent decree. All these factors were basically the same.
It's nothing new.
And I thought I had done what they were asking me to do. So I was very, very disappointed in the Moody's deal. But we should get Standard & Poor's today.
Okay. What is the status of renegotiating with the EPA? And is Mike Johnson helping you with that? We need a new deal to try to get a little break.
We have sought assistance and obtained assistance from various people, I actually feel pretty comfortable that we will come up with a deal. What I don't want to do is to put us in the same boat that we were in 2014, that is agreeing to something that you could look at and say, we can't do this.
Right.
We want to do a deal that we can actually perform under.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real key to on the consent decree. And that's what our argument is to the EPA and the Department of Justice, is that we're willing to do what you need us to do, what you want us to do. We're on the same team there, but we have to be able to do it financially, and we have to be able to do it physically. Some of the concern is that we don't have enough contractors to do the work within the time schedule.
Sure.
That we have. We just don't have the physical capacity to do that. So it's complicated. I am bound and determined to have that issue done before the end of my first term.
Does that mean a water increase next year? Probably. No mayor wants to sit in that chair and say that might be happening, but it might be.
At some point, we don't think next year.
Okay.
At some point when we get ready to borrow, because about every other year, our anticipation based on what we know now is about every other year we'll be borrowing $100 million. And that has to be paid for by rate increases. So we're in an unhappy situation, but I'm trying to make sure it's less unhappy than it otherwise would be.
I don't want to get too wonky, but how much does this bond degradation cost us in paying back the bond interest?
If we are able to maintain the insurance for the bonds, it probably won't cost us anything.
Okay.
If it causes us to lose the insurance, then we probably will pay a little bit. It's still investment grade.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pay a little bit more, but it will be manageable on these. But hopefully, first of all, I am cautiously optimistic about Standard & Poor's. That bond rating, I think, is going to come out today. And hopefully we will maintain with Standard & Poor's. If we do, then we feel pretty good about keeping our insurance.
Okay.
Can you stay with us?
Sure.
We got to take a quick break. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, Mike and McCarty. So, Mayor, in light of this new rating that's just come out this week, and we were talking earlier, we know that the budget you presented to the City Council didn't include raises, but the City Council said that's what they wanted, and you've kind of worked with them. Does this bond rating change that proposal for raises for city employees?
No, because we maintain, our proposal maintains the 8% operating reserve. And I think what happens
even is with raises,
even with the raises, and the we just move. Basically, we move some money around to be able to do this, and we also increased our revenue estimate, which based upon the oil and gas revenues that we have received this year and that we anticipate receiving next year. Sometimes we underestimate those going into the budget because we want to have those monies available for surprises during the during the year, because we inevitably have surprises during the year. But we are maintaining that 8%. What I think it does, it highlights how important that 8% number is, and hopefully we will not see further changes by the city council, further amendments by the city council that would take us below the 8%, because that would really put some things in jeopardy. It would send a really bad signal to both the rating agencies and the insuring agency for our bonds.
Would it be, and people are asking this, so I'm going to ask you, and you've heard it, would it be more responsible, financially responsible, perhaps maybe to do a pay raise for medical and police and fire personnel rather than all of city government at this point based on our finances? Is that something that is in your brain that you're like, oh, are we really doing the right thing?
It really is not, because the city employees, particularly the rank and file employees, people pick up your garbage and dig in the ditches for the water and sewer. Those people have not had a raise in 2 years. They had a modest raise that was really their step increase, about 4% 2 years ago. And it is important for us to be able to maintain a high quality workforce. And we do have pressures. I think at the one of the budget meetings, they talked about in public works, the difficulty finding drivers with CDLs and maintaining those, because we pay less than the private sector.
But the public will say, but during the Perkins administration, they got a 13% increase, which is unheard of in the private sector.
Yeah, that was almost 5 years ago.
Yep, I get it. I understand.
But so we're still dealing with the consequences of that today.
Well, we've kind of absorbed. We have now absorbed that. It was very difficult. Unfortunately, we still had some ARP money, and we were very cautious with that to make sure that we were able to sustain that. But if you look at that, that 13% from then to now has not kept up with inflation. And so we think it's important for the city workers to know that we do care a lot about public safety, but we also care about the people who perform the direct services for the citizens of Shreveport.
You also have to be concerned in watching what's happening in Baton Rouge and New Orleans with regard to budget and constraint. Are you worried at all that we are, I mean, and you've heard maybe Scott Hughes say, yeah, we've got a few problems in Shreveport, but we're nothing like what's going on in Baton Rouge or New Orleans. We're not any close to being in the bad financial shape that those two cities are in, correct?
We are not. There are really two different kind of circumstances, sure. I think. New Orleans is probably some poor financial management and spending habits. Baton Rouge is, I think, largely the results of the St. George phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think you can say that that had to do with poor decisions. What I will say is that as long as I am mayor, we're going to do everything we can to maintain the kind of conservative government principles financially that we have been applying. And I will do everything that I can to make sure that we don't get to those circumstances. It's really tempting. You got a pot of $21 or $22 million in that operating reserve. It's very, very tempting to say, well, I'll just take $1 million out. And the problem is, what do you do next year? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we were criticized for is the last 2 years, we have not had a balanced budget on a fiscal year basis. We We had some extra, what I consider to be extra surplus. We have used some of that operating reserve, still maintaining it over 8%, to make sure that we were still providing the kind of services that the people of Shreveport expect and deserve. But there's a limit to what you could do. And so if you pull money out of the operating reserve for recurring, that means you're going to have to do it the next year and the next year and the next year. Mm-hmm. Now you're taking bite after bite after bite. Pretty soon there's no pie left.
Not left. Speaking of pie, I know you want a Thanksgiving message in our last 30 seconds. Thanksgiving message to our community?
I am grateful for you, for everybody in Shreveport, for the kind of support that we get. Despite some of the naysayers, most of the time people of Shreveport are very supportive of their government and their community, and I'm grateful that I can be the mayor of a city like Shreveport.
Safe travels to you. I know you got Thanksgiving plans.
Thanks.
Enjoy your holiday.
I will.
Thanks.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault, Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710Keel.com.
Back with more McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
FM 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty, Thanksgiving Eve. We got Mike Johnson going to join us after the news, top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a few things that we're going to talk to him about. And I want to talk to him about these six senators.
Yes.
Military and special services senators, sitting senators, calling on our military basically to disregard presidential orders. And they're cloaking it by saying, don't follow illegal orders.
Right.
But yeah. None of them can name an illegal order that President Trump has issued.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is trying to cause dissension amongst, I mean, think about a lot of, you may not be familiar with our military.
I'm a little bit.
I say sarcastically,
right.
Both of her sons serving.
Yeah.
A lot of them, Aaron, are 19, 20-year-olds, 21, 22-year-olds.
They're young men, yeah.
Very young, mm-hmm. Men and women. And you start putting these things into their head. What they have produced, this highly scripted video that these six senators have produced is very, very intentional. This is a CIA tactic, by the way,
sure.
That we use in other countries.
Mm. Wow.
We've never, not against our own military. They're trying to foment insurrection within our own military. This is abhorrent behavior.
It is frustrating. We got to talk to the speaker about that.
I want to talk to him about that.
I have to let his people know.
Senator
yeah.
Mark Kelly and now President, they're saying, look, this is not going to go unrecognized.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And, of course, they're casing it as, well, we're just simply telling them to follow the law as what we're doing. No, that's not what you're doing. And you know exactly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. You're about to explode over
there. I am. This is despicable behavior. This is seditious behavior against our federal government by our own.
Don't curse.
I know.
Ruben will have to hit the button.
I know.
When we
come
back, Mikey Poo.
Yes, dear.
I want to ask you if, look at KeelNews.com. What are the most generous companies in the nation and in Louisiana with regarding Christmas bonuses? Are we going to get the Jelly of the Month Club? What are we going to get?
It's the gift that keeps on giving, Clark. 1017 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Yeah, a previous company that I worked for, you got like an extra paycheck.
Me too.
Whatever your monthly was,
mm-hmm.
for your Christmas bonus. You got basically another one.
Yeah. That was sweet. Yeah, that's a nice deal. That'll pay for Christmas. Easy.
Sure.
It'll take care of everything you need for Christmas and all the gifts and everything you need. Bonuses
are... I don't know
if
they still do that. I mean...
I don't know. Probably not.
I don't know.
Bonuses are becoming rarer and rarer. And I was doing some research yesterday on that. And you can see it at KielNews.com. Because of the prices companies are now having to pay for everything, they don't have as much to spend on end-of-year bonuses any longer. So they're cutting that back. Now, they are finding unique ways to give you other things like stock options in the company or things like that, or things they have that they make. They're giving you those sorts of things. I don't know this year what the plan is, but some of the most generous companies, and I don't know if you've got the article up.
I do.
But go over some of the most generous at the bottom there in Louisiana, because we have some... We have one here in town.
You may go to the bottom of the list?
Yeah, most generous companies down in Louisiana. Right. You see that?
Yeah. I'm looking at it.
That's
Willis-Knighton.
Willis-Knighton doesn't disclose what they give.
Oh, well, it says number two.
What are you looking at?
Am I looking at the...
No, you got to look at the...
Oh, that's... I'm looking at something down below.
No.
Down below it. Sorry.
What are some of the most generous companies in Louisiana? You see that paragraph?
Yeah, hold on. Hold on. Let me get back up to it. Remember these monster bonuses. Generous companies in Louisiana. Here we go. Doesn't take me all day. Entergy?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, $4,000 to $10,000.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Entergy is a power company, and SWEPCO doesn't disclose what they give, so we don't know if SWEPCO matches what Entergy gives.
Yep. Ochsner Health.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if my wife is listening. bonuses ranging from $1,000, which I'd be perfectly happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To $15,000.
That's a lot of money. Now, we don't know if they're doing it this year. Again, right. If you're an Ochsner employee, we don't know. They're not disclosing yet. They may later, but right now, that's the latest data we have.
LHC Group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that is. It's a home health care company.
Yeah. I don't know if they operate here in town. I'm not sure.
$3,000 to $15,000 bonus.
Yep. That's nice. That's nice.
Wow.
Amadeus? I don't know how to say that. $1,500 to $1,600.
Oh, there we go. Yeah,
it's another health company. $1,500 to $16,000, and then if you remember from 2015, this is like the bonus of all bonuses. It's a company in Texas, HillCorp Energy. Back in 2015, they notoriously gave every employee
notorious. Why is it notorious?
No, notoriously good.
Okay,
let's say it for you. Notoriously good. $100,000 each.
Every employee.
Every employee, from the janitor all the way up. Can you imagine being the janitor and you get a $100,000 check?
I can't even imagine.
Wow. Now, with all the turmoil in the oil and gas industry, I don't think those are the checks that are going out this year, but they have done that in the past. You know, Jelly of the Month Club, are you okay with that? What would be insulting? I know I got a birthday card one time from one of our bosses. Not here.
Right.
It's been years ago. And inside the birthday card was a $5 Walmart gift card.
That's
$5.
That's insulting.
I think I trashed it. I think I threw it in
the
garbage.
That's insulting.
$5. And I'd been here a minute. I thought, seriously, we're sending out $5 gift cards? Okay.
Mike Johnson joining us after the news, top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
By the way, Ruben, I meant to tell you, I went to Minden Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
A friend of mine owns the Ace Hardware there.
Oh, cool.
Been there many times.
And so, yeah. And so we had pictures with Sam. I was there. It was fun.
Nice.
It was great.
Nice.
And when I left, I stopped on the way out of town and got a chopped beef sandwich from Nita's.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought about you. I was going to get some Cotton's chicken.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to beat.
But I said, no, I haven't had barbecue. I just a chopped beef sandwich. Sounded so, and she goes, do you want relish on? I felt like Carl. You got any fries up in there? And biscuits. You stand outside and order like the Dairy Whip or whatever.
That's
it is.
Funny,
But I felt like, what do you want up in there? What do you like?
Oh, man. Nita's is a stay. It's been there 100 years, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as I've been alive.
Because she goes, you want relish on it? I said, I don't know, do I? She goes, oh, yeah, I love the relish. I said, well, let's go with it.
Throw it on there, yeah.
Let's do it.
Relish it up as is, definitely.
You like the relish on yours up in there?
Minden is a cool town, man. Oh, it's really awesome. Is. Yeah.
And I was talking to John about that. He says he loves it. The people... And when we were in there, you know, people from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, John. Hey, Larry, how are you? I mean, it was awesome.
That's
it was
so cool.
Awesome. I loved it.
Another awesome story. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but holy cow. Shout out Bossier and your police chief, Daniel Haugen. What on earth is he doing?
Well, he's smoking, how many turkeys? 125 turkeys.
125 turkeys.
For his I didn't know they made
department
papers that
big. And staff.
Yes.
Wow.
He's got them marinating in these big coolers, and then he's got them laid out on the table where he's doing his rub, and then he's putting them in. Where do you get a smoker that big?
I don't know. That looks like, that's one of those big corporate industrial smokers like they have it at Terry Black's or something.
Yes.
And
then
Dallas.
He's giving them out to all his employees, and they look so good. Oh, the finished product.
Oh, look at that. Yes. Oh, I know. It's just looking at that very picture.
Ooh-wee.
Wow.
Dang, wish I could be a Bossier employee today. Those look so... That's the spirit of what our community is about. People just do things good. That 125 turkeys are about $15 a pop. That's a pile of change. And then all the money you spend on the prep work and the time.
Oh, yeah.
That's the kind of guys and gals we have in our community. So tip of the hat, Bossier Police Chief Daniel Howe. Yeah, good job, man. That's awesome. What's our Shreveport chief doing? Frog legs. He's going to give everybody some frog legs. No, he's a good guy, too. I'm sure he's doing something for his staff as well. But I just love seeing these great stories this time of year. It's so cool.
House Speaker Mike Johnson joining us after the news, top of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. One FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, scheduled to speak with the Speaker of the House. Speak with the Speaker, Mike Johnson. But we just, he's running a little late.
Yes.
You got a text?
I got a text. They can we push him to 8:20? I'm so sorry. We had a little bit of a miscommunication this morning. So, yes, we will bump him to 8:20. We'll make this segment.
Okay, that's press speak. Louis had a little miss. Wonder what really happened.
His schedule is so busy. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I tried to book him, his people are like, he may be on family time. You know, this week, it may be the days right before Thanksgiving and going into Thanksgiving. He may be on family time, but he probably would want to squeeze y'all in. So he is squeezing us in. But
sure.
Because
we're family.
Imagine the people that want him every day. He's got demand after demand. And I'm going to tell you something about Mike Johnson today. Speaker Mike Johnson, my kickball buddy. Yesterday, I had a personal thing I needed to talk to him about.
Right.
And it wasn't anybody's business but me and him, and I needed to ask him a question.
What was it?
I'm not going to tell you. None ya. And I texted him. I said, I need you for 5 minutes. Can you call me real quick? Mike, within like a minute or two, he calls me.
Oh, love it.
And he goes, I'm in the car. You know, what can I, you know, what can I help you with? And I told him my problem, and we commiserated for a minute. And I said, I know you're busy, and I just appreciate you calling. How lucky are we?
Yes.
He's the freaking Speaker of the House, for crying out loud.
I know, right.
And he took the moment. You know, he could have said, hey, get with my people. Or, I mean, you know, seriously. And he's that kind of guy. And he's going to work on the problem I had and, you know, going to keep it between he and I. But he's like, I got you and I'm working on that. And we're going to find solutions for the problem that you're having. But I'm like, it's truly unbelievable. It really is. And we're lucky to have him. And I hope he remains Speaker after next year's elections. I do worry about that. I worry about a swing next year. And I know a lot of people are hoping there's a swing, but I'm praying there's not.
I saw an interview that was talking about how the economy is going to be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
If people will let President Trump do what he's doing, remember his first term.
Right.
Remember the economy
right.
before they unleashed COVID.
Yes.
And I say that intentionally.
Right.
To kill everything.
Mm.
We're on that same swing
yes.
this time.
Right.
And by midterms, it's going to be phenomenal.
Yes.
I think you never can. I remember going when Joe Biden was announcing it, and I was like, oh, gosh, yes, please run.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Yeah.
And then he gets elected.
Right, exactly.
Or he gets put into office.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
with the mail. And now Swalwell is saying he wants people to vote by phone.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, you moron.
I know. Exactly.
We need to let people vote by phone.
Right. Absolutely.
Anyway, I digress.
Our topics with Mike are limited because of the short time today. So we're going to talk health care and what the big, beautiful bill will mean for us all. So we're going to stick to those topics we've agreed to. So that's coming up with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, coming up next.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, joining us. Speaker, good morning.
Hey, great to be with you guys. Sorry I messed up the time earlier.
That's quite all right. You're forgiven. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, too, by the way.
The same to you all. It's going to be a good week. We're getting the whole Johnson crew together, and it's a long time coming. We're looking forward to it.
Oh, nice. The big, beautiful bill. There are going to be a lot of changes that people don't realize. But I'm actually going to get a little bit more in my paycheck after the new year. Is that true?
Yeah, you are. In fact, the average American is expected to receive an additional about $10,000 in take-home pay. You'll see that by next April. You know, here's the thing.
Whoa.
We call it the Big Beautiful Bill for a reason. Yeah, because it's the largest middle-class tax cut in history. It was geared for lower and middle-class earners, but it affects everybody across the economy. We prevented, remember, the largest tax increase mm-hmm. in U.S. history. It would have been $5 trillion that descended upon all of our heads if we hadn't gotten this done. But then in addition to that, we added all sorts of new features and pro-growth policies, and among them are reducing the tax burden for everybody. The bottom 20% of earners, by the way, are going to see their federal tax rate fall to the lowest level in 40 years.
Well, that's me.
Yeah. Well, you, me, all of us. Everybody is going to do better. All boats are going to rise. And the reason is because we're reducing the tax burden for everybody. Remember, Uncle Sam doesn't have a dollar to spend unless he takes it out of somebody else's pocket.
Now,
right?
are they going to take less out of my check, or am I going to get it back in my refund? How's that going to work?
Yes, it'll be retroactive to 25. So you'll see a little bit of both. Okay. And then on top of that, the reason that all boats rise is that we put in all sorts of incentives for business owners, small business owners, for example. You know, about 95% of the jobs in our region are not for small business owners, right, except for the government officials and soldiers and airmen and all the rest. But small businesses will get a permanent tax deduction, okay? They will immediately be able to write off expenses. expensing. So, for example, if they purchase a capital asset, they build a new manufacturing facility, they add on to the business, they can write that off their taxes. So what that does is it spurs on that activity. And we've seen this already in the past when policies like this have been involved, including in the first Trump administration. But this time we're doing it on steroids. And in addition to that, for wage earners and people who work on tips, remember, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime anymore. Seniors, about 50 million seniors are going to get tax relief. So there was all sorts of targeted provisions and policies in the bill. The reason we call it One Big Beautiful Bill is because there's so much in it. But my challenge is politically over the next coming months is to get all my colleagues, my Republican colleagues in the House, to go out and talk about the individual pieces so more and more people understand all the great things that are coming. Most of this gets implemented after the first of the year. So you'll be able to see and feel that, experience that well before that midterm election next fall.
Is it still going to include no tax on Social Security?
Yeah, well, in a way, I can't use that phrase because we couldn't do Social Security in the reconciliation bill because of the archaic rules of the Senate. It's outside the scope of it. However, what we did was we whittled away at individual categories of seniors who are receiving Social Security so that they'll get tax relief sort of indirectly that way. So it's complicated. But yes, the answer is, but the estimate is a little over 50 million seniors will be paying less taxes to the federal government.
Okay, the health care subsidy extensions, that it's been the hot topic. What, explain that in the simplest way you can so people understand it.
Okay, here's the bottom line. The Democratic Party broke American health care. Why do we say that? So they passed Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. We call it the Unaffordable Care Act, okay, because everybody knows from the moment it was signed into law 15 years ago, premiums have skyrocketed. The legislation did exactly the opposite of what they promised it was going to do. Right. A lot of reasons for that. But the Democrats' answer now is to keep throwing taxpayer subsidies at a broken system they created. And we think that is very unwise because it just perpetuates the problem. Instead, what Republicans are trying to do is look at the root causes, the root problems that are driving up healthcare costs. And we got a lot of ideas on how to do that. Now, we've already implemented some of these, okay? When you're talking about the Big Beautiful Bill, we put into that law a provision, for example, on Medicaid. We tackled the problem in Medicaid first. We went after ineligible recipients. So you had illegal aliens and young able-bodied men without dependents who were just siphoning off the system. When we remove them, the Congressional Budget Office estimates that we saved taxpayers $185 billion. We brought premiums down. Now, there was another provision we put in the Big Beautiful Bill that the Democrat senators pulled out. Okay, when I passed it out of the House and sent it over, I had a provision called the CSRs, the cost sharing reduction. That would have driven premiums down for the average American over 12.7%. And the Senate Democrats, in their infinite wisdom, stripped it out of the bill. Okay?
Okay.
So what we're coming forward with is a lot of ideas like that. The CSR program, we've got reforms to like the PBM program that is driving drug costs through the ceiling. We have the expansion of HSAs. There's a lot of ideas that are sort of like low-hanging fruit. And we have got to convince at least a handful of Democrats to come along with us so that we can adjust the premiums, reduce the premiums for all Americans, not just a small subset. But remember, this enhanced COVID-era premium that everybody's arguing about affects less than 7% of Americans. Okay, all this, all that hubbub, all the politics, all the everything, it's about less than 7%. We want to go for 100% of Americans paying insurance because we got to fix the broken system. That's what Republicans are committed to.
Now, there are concerns, and you know the Democrats are saying that if the subsidies are not extended, that you're going to hurt low-income folks and they're going to be paying more after the new year. Is that true or not?
But they're not telling you the truth. Okay, the Democrats are fighting about this enhanced. Remember, Democrats passed this all on their own without any Republican votes, all these health care things. They added this COVID-era subsidy at that time. And they are the ones that put the extension or the deadline date on it. Okay, so the reason that it ends December 31st is because Democrats decided that they had control of government. They never changed it. All right, but even if that was to expire, okay, even if we can't come to a compromise over the next several weeks, 93% of all subsidized Obamacare enrollees, that's 22.5 million people, are still going to have their premium tax credit.
Okay.
And even if the enhanced subsidy is not renewed, most people seeking Obamacare are still going to have access to a health care plan that costs $50 or less every month. Okay. Mm. So they are trying to make a political issue out of this. They don't want a solution. They want an issue to run on next year. And they are scaring people, and they are exaggerating the problem. And, I know y'all are not surprised.
Yeah.
Well, they just say anything.
Right.
They just say anything.
I'm a little bit twisted, and Mike's going to ask you. You know I'm a military mom, so I'm not going to ask you this because it drives me crazy. Mike's got it.
Well, House Speaker Mike Johnson, look, this so-called seditious six that have come out with this carefully orchestrated, very well-crafted video that it's basically fomenting insurrection within our military. Is there going to be...
I've got a real problem with it. Yeah.
I do, too. I know they've already talked about going after Mark Kelly. And I say going after, pursuing prosecution. What can be done about this?
Well, here's the thing. I'm a military dad, as you know, Aaron. I mean, my son's a naval academy, right? And he's a sophomore over there, and they're teaching all of the young sailors, airmen, Marine soldiers. They're teaching them that they have to follow orders. Of course, it's essential to our military. And now you have Senator Mark Kelly and five others who are veterans who come out and make this video, and they're telling young people entering the military you don't have to obey orders. It's unprecedented in history. It is certainly dangerous, and they're as if an 18 or 19 year old is going to know constitutional law and be able to discern which orders he should follow and which he should not. I mean, it's crazy. So look, it does violate the law. 18 U.S.C. U.S. Code Section 2387 it is about activities affecting armed forces in general, and it says that it is a federal crime to advise in U.S. military operations insubordination or disloyalty or mutiny or refusal of duty among the U.S. military. And it goes on. Okay. And there are penalties for this. It is a federal crime for obvious reasons. So Pete Hegseth, Department of War Secretary, is looking into that, in particular with Senator Kelly, because he's still, in effect, under the orders that he's supposed to follow as a member of the military, the chain of command, because he's receiving retirement and he's had some other engagements. So we're going to see what happens with that. I think we do need to make this a big thing, because you cannot have people in authority abusing their platforms and confusing our troops at one of the most dangerous moments in history. I mean, since World War II, guys, this is a dangerous time. We have real adversaries out there, and we need our military operating on all cylinders. We don't need people abusing their platforms to score cheap political points.
Well, and they're casing it as, well, not to follow illegal orders. Is that going to be their out?
So that's the point. Obviously, if a commanding officer tells you to shoot someone in the street, a civilian, you wouldn't do that, right? But how is a young person in the military supposed to discern what is illegal? And by the way, in every single interview, even on CNN, MSNBC, and all the rest, when they've asked any of the seditious six to name an order they thought was illegal, they cannot name one. And that is the whole
point.
This is all about politics, and it's disgusting.
Speaker Mike Johnson, happy Thanksgiving to you. We appreciate you spending a few minutes with us today. Thank you a bunch, my friend.
Thank you all. Great to talk to you. God bless.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Mike Johnson, Mike and McCarty. Coming up, information on the Christmas Carol at Emmett Hook Center. After the news, bottom of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
If you're looking for something for the family to do this weekend, you got folks in town. Oh, my gosh. First of all, there's nothing like live theater.
Mm-mm.
Nothing like live theater. Emmett Hook Center is doing a Christmas Carol.
Oh, boy.
And we've got Scrooge.
Scrooge is here.
Scrooge is in the studio with us, and we're going to talk to Scrooge.
Dastardly Scrooge.
Right after the break. Mike and McCarley. I'm looking at the sign Marley. That's funny. That's Mike funny. And McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Emmett Hook Center doing A Christmas Carol. And this is the final weekend. Mead Patton is in. Mead's like I am. He's one of the old school. He's been around theater a long time. Good morning.
I was wondering how you were going to compare me to you. Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
A lot of facial hair, too.
A little bit, yes.
Tell us about this production of A Christmas Carol. It's a little different, is it?
Well, yeah, from my understanding, it's really more centered around the spirits, although Scrooge is, of course, the main character, and once he makes an entrance, he unfortunately doesn't go away for a while. Anyway, it's more spirit-centered. It's more directed at how they influence and lead Scrooge and bring him, you know, into the realization that he can be a good man.
The ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future.
Yes, well, right. The ghost of yet to come is the way she is referred to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's at First Methodist Church, Emmett Hooks Center. Liesl Cruz is the director. It's already played for one weekend. We've had good audiences. One of the funniest or heartwarming stories I have to say is after, well, it was actually opening night, a family came to see us, and the father came up to me after the show and told me that at one point his little girl, who was I think around 5 or 6, crawled up in his lap, and after the show was over, she came over to me and hugged me.
Wow.
Oh,
and
wow.
He wanted to get a picture of Scrooge with his daughter, but it was kind of heartwarming to That's know cool. that, that...
You can affect somebody.
You
That's
can.
What I'm talking about. Live theater.
Yes.
There's nothing like it.
Absolutely. Now, that's a Friday night show, and then the Saturday and Sunday shows are 3 o'clock, right?
That's correct. Friday at 7:30 and Saturday, Sunday at 3 o'clock.
And this is great for families, like you say.
Oh, it's a wonderful show for families.
If you've got the whole family in town for Thanksgiving, the tickets are very reasonable. I mean, it's a really great opportunity to see live theater.
It is. It is. And I have to put a plug in, too, for the technical aspect of it. Julie Edwards has just created this ethereal light
great.
Show that's just it'll blow you away.
Mm-hmm.
And then Barry Butler, I mean, he's the king of local sound.
Live audio.
He's created this ethereal soundtrack that is...
And you know, those jobs, especially sound, when you do a good job, nobody knows it.
Nope.
Exactly.
You do a great job, nobody even
right.
notices
mm-hmm.
because
right.
it goes off.
It just plays.
But if they can't hear something or, what's wrong with the sound?
I'm amazed by the costumes, too. They're absolutely unbelievable.
There are some wonderful ones, particularly for the three spirits, past, present, and yet to come. Those are incredible. For the most part, we're in black with different accented colors,
mm-hmm.
but it works real well. The cast doubles as they're all spirits of some sort
sure.
throughout the show. So that's a unique way of presenting it, I think.
It's a large cast, too.
It's a fairly large cast.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's written, it could be about twice as large.
Wow.
So,
Friday night, Saturday, 3 o'clock, Sunday at 3 o'clock, Emmett Hooks Center. Time to get your tickets now, right?
Yes. Go to Emmett Hook. What is it? EmmettHookCenter.org?
Yeah, I can tell you.
Yes.
EmmettHookCenter.org.
Thanks
yes.
for coming in.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so
me.
Much. Good show.
Thank you.
101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
I have got to make time. One of my favorite, you don't think of Thanksgiving movies particularly. A lot of Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Die Hard, not one of them. But Thanksgiving
Thank you.
Movies, I love... Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes, yes.
I cry every time.
It's such a great movie.
And you put together a couple of clips from two of our favorite movies.
Absolutely. And I always think of Driving Miss Daisy, not necessarily a Thanksgiving movie, but there's a Thanksgiving scene near the end of the movie that's just, I know I'm going to tear up.
Hope came to see me, not you.
Mm. Looked like one of her good days.
Mama Florine asked me to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. She's in Washington, you know. Remember, Mama, she's a Republican National Committee woman now.
Good God. Booley? Go charm the nurses. Booley paying you still?
Give a week.
How much?
That's between him and me.
Highway robbery.
Yes. It sure is.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing the best I can.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, I reckon that's about all there is to it then, ain't it? Look here. You didn't eat your Thanksgiving pie, huh? Yeah. Go on. Let me help you.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
You want to hurt me? Go right ahead if it makes you feel any better. I'm an easy target. Yeah, you're right. I talk too much. I also listen too much. I could be a cold-hearted cynic like you. But I don't like to hurt people's feelings. Well, you think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me. Because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.
Wow. Oh, man.
And that's the name of the documentary about John Candy that just came out.
Yes.
I like me.
Oh. Man. The greatest Thanksgiving
Bill Murray
movie.
Was like, how are you going to have a documentary where you interview everybody? Nobody has anything bad to say about the guy.
I know.
It was a tough follow after I watched the Charlie Sheen documentary.
Yeah, I'll no tell you kidding.
That
much.
That was yeah, a tough no follow. A guy with just zero controversy in
Absolutely.
His life.
We are off tomorrow and Friday. Best of Mike and McCarty. So have a great Thanksgiving. We'll be back with you on Monday.
Happy Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Remember to whom you're thankful.
Mike
and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Key.